Welcome to Career Tools. This week, what your resume says. Here we go. So we have a special treat this week in what your resume says.
We do.
We actually have one of the people who got their resume eviscerated by us has written in and told us a great story about what happened.
He did.
And you took the time to interview them. So this will be another person's voice. This is only the third person's voice.
We're up to five now.
Five? Okay, people other than Mike or me or you. Because we've had John Lucht, and we had the great management thinker, John Cotter.
Jim Collins.
Jim Collins.
And
We had Mark Granger, of course, our good friend Mark Granger.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit unusual. This is an actual listener, a member, a licensee of Manager Tools, as I recall, who sent his resume. We gave out some anonymous feedback.
He and I had a bit of an email exchange afterwards.
Right.
And then he told me that he had gone from a ratio of 1% success rate to a 50% success rate. So he said that for every two resumes he sends out, he gets one good response back. And in fact, when I asked him, would he mind being interviewed, he could barely fit me into his schedule. He said he stopped sending resumes out. You'll find out he's a design creative, so it's not like he's sending his resume for jobs, but he could barely fit me into his schedule.
Yeah. So we're going to start this cast with your interview of him and his experience in implementing our guidance that came out of these What Your Resume Says cast, and then the results that he got in the marketplace with his resume.
Yeah.
And then we're going to follow that up with a review of another resume, and perhaps two if we have time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Okay. So without further ado, we'll go to Wendy's interview of Kyle.
I am delighted to have with me today Kyle Skrinak, who you may remember as Ike Godsey. Mark and I reviewed his resume as part of our What Your Resume Says series, and he was Ike Godsey. We changed his name, but for this interview, he said that he's willing to for us to give his real name, so everybody say hi to Kyle. Kyle, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for volunteering to send your resume so that we had something to make a cast from. Without you doing that, we wouldn't have been able to do this for the listeners. And thank you again for being here this morning and being willing to talk to me.
You are more than welcome. I appreciate all the work you guys do.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're going to start from the end and work backwards. So first of all, can you just tell us a little bit about what you do and what kind of opportunities you were sending your resume for and what kind of results that you're getting now that you weren't getting before?
Sure. So my wife and I own our own print and web design agency, Skrinak Creative. And for the majority of our time, we've been word of mouth exclusively. So we never had a sales process. And when the economy softened or tanked in 2010 especially, we found ourselves in the position of having to go out and drum up business. And it's not unusual where people say submit your resumes, and thanks to your guidance, I now know that a bio may be more appropriate, but nevertheless, I was sending out my resume.
Right.
So just looking for new contractual opportunities, but the other thing that resonated what one of your podcasts had identified that you should always have your resume ready regardless.
Of course. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's common sense, even though you don't think about it, so I wanted to have it ready. And that's where that whole process came about.
Okay, great. And so you were sending your resume as part of pitches for creative work with other companies, and how was that going for you, and how did that change after you'd done some changes after hearing the resume, the cast where we critiqued your resume?
So let's say last year, and I don't have this drawn out as scientifically as you might like. Nevertheless, let's say I sent out 200 resumes, and I would get a response rate below 1%.
Wow.
And when I talk to the people, well, that's how it is. Hey, would you look at my resume? Yeah, sure, be happy to. And basically, I got nothing back. So I just thought this was odd. And so I was starting to wonder, well, you know, what's the disconnect here? Because people that we work with, our clients, are happy with the work I've done. You know, I was comfortable that I was delivering stuff. I thought I had incorporated your guidances into my resumes, but apparently not. So when the opportunity came to do the rewrite, I was all over it. So basically, it was just a poor response rate that I was seeing.
Mm-hmm. And now?
Well, so it's dramatic. And I don't know how long this is. Let's say 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And in the period, so two things have happened. The response rate is, it's almost 2 to 1. If not a little bit higher, and I'm not sending them out as frequently. So since I've revised my resume and sent a few out, it's dramatic how focused I'm getting the right responses now. People know what I do and how my skills would pertain to what they're looking to do. And we just cut to the chase a lot quicker. So it cuts through the fog in a way I hadn't expected.
Wow, that's not even something I expected. So that's great to hear. I'm really glad.
Me too.
What was the experience of having your resume reviewed like? Because we didn't tell you ahead of time that we were going to put you. I mean, you knew that you were in the pile, but we didn't tell you it's going to be you this Thursday. What was that moment like when you realized it was you? And how did you feel kind of going through listening to what we were saying?
Well, is there a polite way to say it was analogous to getting kicked between the legs?
No, we can only imagine that.
So here's my routine. I listen to all your podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. You're one of my favorites, so you knew the talk. And I was out on a jog, and as you started to describe Ike's resume, it was like, OMG, as my kids would say. That's me, and they're laughing. And they're saying I need help. So it was almost like it was such a powerful rebuke that I realized, though, that there's an old saying, only two people tell you the truth. Your worst enemies are your best friends. So rather than let the emotional response take over me, just kind of give it a minute, breathe through it, which I did, and took it to heart. And then you and I had some back and forths. Mm-hmm. And it was just dramatic, just the little changes, the big things that were covered in the podcast were probably 80% of it. You helped me on some important details, and it's just, it's like the resume whisperer. It's just, I've been very pleased with the change.
That's cool, the resume whisperer. I should put that on my resume.
So I would tell people, and the reason why I volunteered to do this is, number one, you guys said early on, everyone's resume is lousier, or that you got a large majority of it, and that's probably true. And the other thing I found is no one would tell me the truth, which I attribute to, one, either polite silence, or, they don't know. It's outside their field of expertise. So thank you guys. It's just, I have great, profound appreciation for how you helped.
It was our pleasure. So what prompted you to volunteer in the first place? What was it, the lack of response that you were getting, or were you thinking about the other managers who would benefit? What prompted you, especially as we sent out an email after everybody sent their resumes in and said, we're going to be brutal, and a few people kind of ducked out at that point, and you stayed with it. So why was that?
Well, philosophically, I'm an open source, which is a software development model, where the process of development is transparent, for better or for worse. So your mistakes are as obvious as are your successes, and we all learn from that. So if that's the software model I use, that should be how I live, and other people can learn from my mistakes, hopefully. The other reason is just, selfish. I admire you guys. And given that admiration, I was curious to see how this would go. It's kind of like, hey, Dev, look at this. Look at my homework. What do you think?
I love that open source concept. Nobody's ever said what we do is like that, but that's a perfect analogy. Is there anything else that you want to tell everybody that I haven't asked you a question that prompted? Let me give you an opportunity to say anything else that you want to.
Well, you know what? So I'm probably one of your edge case listeners, since I am self-employed, and I love working with my wife. So I'm not probably what I would think is your mainstream audience, but I listen to you guys because I love the ethics that you promote. It's the undercurrent to everything, and I just thought you'd like to know that this listener values that, even if you're not explicit. Every podcast has the ethics framework to it, and I appreciate that.
That's lovely. Thank you. And I'm glad you appreciate that, because it's something that's really important to us. Okay, so I don't want to make this really long. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. Thank you very much for sending your resume, because like I said, without it, we couldn't have done it. And thank you for taking the time this morning to share the experience and how it's gone for you. And I am so glad that it's made a real difference to you. That just makes our day. So
yes, thank
you for telling us that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, we hope that was exciting, a little different for Career Tools, and it was such a good story, we thought we'd share it with you. And now we'll get back to What Your Resume Says, where we take yet another resume and eviscerate it 5 ways to Sunday. And we joke about eviscerating. A couple of people have written in, several from Kyle, and actually said, wow, it was really hard to hear, and wow, is my resume better?
Absolutely.
So we stand by our guidance, even though it may be hard to hear. And too many of you send us resumes that aren't any good, and we're your friends, and we're willing to tell you that the emperor has no clothes, and we're going to do that again today.
Yeah.
So tell us about the first resume.
So we're going to start with Verdi Grant, and we'll do another one if we get time. But the best thing about Verdi is it's finally one on one page.
It's a one page.
Yes.
And let me just give a little bit of background. Some people may be listening to this for the first time ever. Yeah. This is an unusual Career Tools cast where we've asked people to send us resumes. We expected to get a few, and we got 100. Over 100 people willing to, and we anonymized them, and we said we will give candid. I don't know who any of these people are. You might know, Wendy, you might know, but
it's
I don't.
Long enough that I've forgotten.
You've forgotten. And people want our guidance on the resume. And generally speaking, most of the resumes we've gotten have been terrible, right?
Yep.
I don't mean terrible like third grade terrible, folks, but I do mean we have resume guidance that makes your resume brain dead simple. And people still, and one of the pieces of guidance is one page, one page, one page, one page. Folks, I'm 53 years old and I have a one page resume. I probably don't need to have a one page resume, but I can. And heaven forbid I ever need it, but it's one page. And so when you send us 5 pages, we think you really didn't listen to our guidance and you really don't know what you're doing. And no offense, it's not just us. We're trying to evaluate what hiring managers, which Wendy used to be, and I used to be, and Mike used to be, and Danny used to be. We're trying to give you guidance about what we see when we look at resumes that people send us. So I'm sorry I interrupted you. So let's get back to Verdi.
So we started with a huge sigh of relief that it was only one page.
Only one page for Verdi.
And it does follow our guidance in terms of structure. So you can see that she will put this up on the website so you can download it. You can see that she has her dates on the left-hand side, which allows you to run your eye up the dates or down the dates, just checking for gaps, which is one thing
right.
that recruiters do.
Right.
She has her job titles, because what you did is more important than where you did it. And then
right.
she has the company names. So
right. And this is a good point here. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we've had a discussion recently, I think you and I in the last couple of weeks, about the fundamental underlying principles of a resume. Folks, in case you're wondering, when you're thinking, what does my resume do? Your resume, the purpose of a resume is to get you an interview. That's all the resume is supposed to do. Or it's 90% of mm-hmm. what your resume is supposed to do. It is essentially a high-level review of your professional career. What hiring managers look for in a resume can be boiled down into something that's brutally simple, and that is, what have you done? They want to see that you have some skills that they'll transfer. And then secondly, how well have you done it? Are you good at what you say you can do? That's fundamentally what it boils down to. What have you done, and how well have you done it? Because the most recent thing you've done is most likely to be most relevant in terms of the currency of your skills, a resume therefore goes in reverse chronological order. The most current thing you've done is at the top, whereas chronological order, the most current thing would be at the bottom. Okay. The second thing is what have you done, and then how well have you done it? The way that translates for you on the other side of the table from the recruiter, they're looking again, what have you done and how well have you done it? The candidate then creates for each job you've had a responsibilities paragraph, which tells them what you've done, and accomplishment bullets, which tells them this is how well I did it. The responsibilities paragraph is separate from the accomplishment bullets to make it easy for a recruiter to find what you've done as opposed to how well you've done it. If for some reason they do a quick look and they say, this person's definitely in line with what we're looking for, then they'll quickly go to your accomplishment bullets. How good are you? And I think too many candidates miss that. And so they think they can be creative or different. And guys, you know, resumes are a lot like what we teach in terms of communication. Communication is what the listener does. You don't want to tell the recruiter what you want them to know. You want to tell the recruiter what they need to know in order to make a decision to give you an interview. Okay. Absolutely. Sorry, that was too long. Sorry. Go ahead.
So Betty has followed our guidance in that she has accomplishment bullets and responsibility paragraphs. So at a kind of first glance, I'm like, okay, we're good. We've got the right structure. We're on one page. So far, so good.
Right. And then we've got reverse chronological. We've got name and stuff at the top, centered. We've got bullets. We've got responsibilities paragraphs and bullets appear to be separated. The first visual look is, okay, I'm pleased. Yeah. I've got education down at the bottom from 10, 12 years ago. Yeah. Okay.
So
good.
So far, so good.
Right.
But then you start reading this properly. And the first thing I notice is that there is a difference in the font between the most recent role
and all the rest.
And all the rest, which is usually a sign that somebody did their resume very quickly.
Yes. In fact, it's not just usually a sign. This is what recruiters think. Aha. Put the resume together quickly. I wonder why. Yeah. Immediately start asking questions.
Are you being fired?
Right. Or not really ready for the transition they're making. Maybe you're not getting fired, but a friend suggested you should send this in and you didn't spend enough time to dot your I's and cross your T's. And it's not hard to drag through an entire Word document resume and make a standard font, right? It happens almost immediately.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay.
So whilst lots of people would probably think that font is, you know, a minor thing, it's actually...
Exactly.
We read a lot into
we read
it,
into
right?
It. Yeah. And I know that people will say, oh, that's not very nice of them. Well, folks, let me just tell you something. We don't feel bad about that. We get thousands of resumes. We only have a few openings in good times and in bad. And if we have lots of openings, we're still looking for the absolute best person. And these are the kind of criteria we use to rule people out.
Absolutely. And then my next look is always at the dates. And now I start to be a little bit confused because... She started working in 1993, which is 20 years ago. And there's a lot of white space on this resume, lines between different things.
And the borders are generous. Well, they're not too generous.
No, but they're wider than they would be, I would expect.
Yeah.
The accomplishments are slightly indented, and some of them are three lines long. So now I'm thinking, she hasn't achieved that much in 20
years. Yeah, there are only 3, 5, 7, 9, 10 bullets in 20 years of professional life.
Which is kind of worrying.
Right.
And then you look at her education. She finished her education in 2002. And normally we would say, start your resume as long as you've graduated in the last... Once you're sort of 5 to 7 years past graduation, then you start your resume from the date you graduated.
Right.
You don't have to have pizza delivery person once you're, you know, 20 years into your education, into your career. But if you look at 2002, she was president of a company.
Right.
Immediately she graduated.
Well, in fact, she graduated in the middle of the time she was president of what I can only assume... was her own company.
Exactly.
Right.
That was exactly what I assumed. And then she seems to have gone backwards because the next job is manager of customer relations and now a management associate, which is a much more recently graduated job title.
Which is not the end of the world, but it causes questions in our mind.
Exactly. So
and I think in Verdi's defense, and again, folks, these names are made up off of the Waltons TV show, why we had to have a British a lady choose the Waltons in a very American show is beyond me. But anyway, Verdi, please don't get the impression that we want you to fib. We don't.
No.
But we are telling you what conclusions we're drawing from your resume. And I also would just point out that in her bottom job, which she'd done for a couple of years, she has no bullets, which is okay. It's okay. It's 20 years ago.
Nor in her most recent role either.
Yeah, that's the one that bothers me. She's been in that role for a couple of years now, at least a year and a half, and there's no accomplishments at all.
Exactly. Yeah. So now I'm thinking, I'm very confused about this person. Yeah. I don't really know how old she is. I don't really understand how much experience she has.
Right.
I'm kind of not understanding. Right. And this, I think, if you have a resume like this, that doesn't make sense on first view. This is where you have to work your network. You have to be getting interviews with people who already know you and understand what you did. It's possible that she went straight to work in 1993 and then she did her degree late as a 25-30-year-old. That would maybe make more sense, but... And my first view is, I don't understand this, I don't want to read the rest of it. Whereas if I knew her as a person and understood her history, I might be like, actually, you've got some experience that's really useful to me.
Right. Good. I'll tell you the thing that really jumped out at me was October 2000 to December 2007, president of this particular company, which is during that time, Verdi got her degree. Fine. And guys, don't get the impression that we're suggesting age is an issue. We just have a question about that. And we're trying to understand how all this stuff fits together and what narrative the resume says about you. And we have questions. Now, it's okay for us to have questions if we see jobs that are related to what we want and you performing at a high level in those jobs.
Absolutely.
But in 7 years in a job as president of a firm, which, by the way, I would be very surprised. I could be wrong, but I would suspect there was probably some changes in role in there in that 7 years. But even if it's not true in this particular job, there are three bullets, none of which are about growing the business. About revenue, about costs. This person was responsible for all aspects of the business. Hiring, coaching, delegation, feedback, training, budget, financial analysis, P&L. And there's not a single bullet in there about P&L. And look, it'd be one thing if you got your degree toward the end of that time and you said, well, the company was failing. And so I was spending my time at night going, okay, great. We understand that. There's no shame in starting a company and it not working out. Although in this case, I don't think this person started that. Verdi didn't start the company because she got hired there and was 5 years operations manager before she was promoted to president. I assume she was promoted to president. But there's no bullet in the job of president that says, I did my job well, which is P&L, financial results, and so on.
The middle one that's actually a project type accomplishment has nothing about on-time delivery.
There was a gigantic project for a huge customer, AT&T, and there's no indication that the project was done successfully. Now, let's just read the bullet to people and help them understand. It says, managed statewide rollout of DSL service through partnership with AT&T, including developing training and support plans, managing network hardware and software installations, and negotiating telecommunications contracts. Okay. That sounds to me like the responsibilities paragraph that now I want to know what the accomplishments that go with that are.
Exactly.
Seems like a pretty big thing. It's one of three bullets over a 7 year period. So you lead us to believe that it might have taken as much as 2 years of your life. And yet I don't know how well you did it.
Yeah.
It could have been that the customer canceled the project because you didn't do it very well.
That's right. There's nothing there. And you could break that into several accomplishments and still find a positive out of those.
Now, in Verdi's defense, the top bullet for the job she took after that at manager of customer relations oversaw 100% retention of strategic accounts. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
And then led team to selling professional services over $400,000 in 2008, 20% over goal. Now, I would change that one. I would say, I don't want to know that you led the team. I want to know starting out that you were 20% over goal.
Absolutely.
I want to put the accomplishment before the how.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do before the how you
did it?
Yeah. And so I say to myself, okay, I have a little bit of balance, but you were only in the job of customer relations for 3 years, and I have 7 years with only three bullets in the president job, which worries me a little bit.
Yeah, it's like those accomplishments for that manager of customer relations doesn't belong on this resume.
It does. Yeah, exactly.
It's like it was written by somebody else.
Yeah. Now, here's what I think might have happened, and Verdi, please feel free to send us an email and tell us we're crazy or whatever. It was when she started learning about what a resume should be. And before that, before 2008, and look, guys, I don't mean to break my arm, patting ourselves on the back, but maybe this person started listening to us in 2008 and realized, I need to have a career management document. And if so, good on you. well done, and we still need more work done on the previous jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 And the December 2007, the president job, that's only 6 years ago. We can't just say, well, 6 years ago is so far in the past.
Yeah, and I can't remember.
Vagueness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how roughly how many millions or thousands, hundreds yes. of thousands that company was making.
Yes. And I also think there are too many multi-line bullets in the resume.
Absolutely.
There are 10 bullets in the resume, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them are multi-line. They're probably a little long. They can be tightened up a little bit.
Absolutely too long. And if you had narrower margins, you'd get some of those on one line anyway.
Yeah.
And the more you get
on
one.
You mean wider margins. Wider margins, yeah. I'm sorry, narrower margins, wider text space.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And the more one-line accomplishments you have, the more you can fit on there. And the more
exactly.
you fit on there, the more impressive you are.
Yes, exactly. Good.
Cool.
What else? Is that Verdi?
That's Verdi.
Okay.
Should we do Zeb?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the reason I picked Zeb's resume is, one, it's on one page and it follows our format, Zeb. You're my favorite
yes.
person. And the other reason I really like this resume is he has some good accomplishments which are quantified, and he works
and
in education.
And specific to the responsibilities. That's the
yeah.
thing I like
yeah.
the most.
And he works in education.
Yes, which this is the only resume like it of its kind. It should go in the Smithsonian. I've actually been accused. I made a mistake a couple of years ago. I was truthful, but it ended up being a mistake. I told someone that, I made a joke about higher education, that it was where ideas, it was like Shoeless Joe Jackson's glove, it was where triples go to die. Higher education is where good management ideas go to die. And I got a very nasty email from someone saying, those of us in higher education are offended, and appropriately so. I probably shouldn't have made such a gross generalization. Although, if you compared the average company with the average higher education institution, the average company beats the tar out of the management skills of the higher education institution. And we have many, many friends who have gone back and forth and have told us that over and over again. And frankly, one of the things I noticed, the first thing I did after looking at the name and getting a general feel of the resume, saying, okay, I feel good about this resume, the next thing I looked down and I say, wow, look at this. BS, doctoral program, master's in administration. It's, wow, this is good. I mean, there's some heft there in terms
yeah.
of the education. It's not why I hire people,
nope.
but I looked and then I started getting more detail.
He's got the intellectual capacity
yeah.
to do
yeah,
the job
good.
That he's doing.
Yeah.
He's done a really good job. For instance, he says, developed indicators relevant to the mission, indicating 95% client satisfaction, externally evaluated.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you have an external evaluator, as an educator, you get feedback from your students. And if you don't, then you can ask for it. There's no reason why people teaching shouldn't have accomplishments on their quantified accomplishments on their
right.
resume.
Here's when he was principal of an academy, a high school level academy, his first bullet is graduated 70% of students on time, parentheses, versus 35% at local LA high school, close parentheses. I love that.
Yeah.
Mentored 6 new and sitting principals at schools across 3 boroughs. Again, specific to his responsibilities.
Yeah.
Increased student attendance by 10%. And in fact, he was a co-director of a high school there. And the first bit of his responsibility is manage student attendance.
Yep.
He's telling us, this is what I was responsible for, and this is how well I did it. I love that. I mean, in fact, I love it so much. I want to interview the guy simply because he's clear about what he was responsible for, and he's not afraid of talking about how well he did it.
Yeah. I already want to interview him, and I don't even know him. I just want to ring him and say, hey, you sound like a really cool person.
Yeah.
Can you be my friend?
Yeah. Now, there are some of the accomplishments that he could have quantified a little bit more easily,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like that's almost window dressing. When I first look at this resume, I say, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you look
an accomplishment-minded person.
Yeah. All the way back to his most recent, earliest role, I'm sorry.
Right.
He says, produced highest number of graduates of any dorm. Now, I'd prefer to know the percentage or a number or something, but it just shows that even all the way back to 1993, he can say that he's been successful.
Yes.
Which is, you know, not everyone
yeah.
can say that.
So I might have I find it interesting that he got a BS in physics and then he went on into a doctoral program. He was in the doctoral program, but I know that he's in a doctoral program, and then he finally got out and started working. And I might have some questions. They're simply questions to understand what he was thinking and why he was thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a question of why does this not appear to scan in a way that indicates some level of knowledge. I'm probably okay with his answer because there's clarity in terms of the way it scans.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful resume in the sense of the progression. I don't have any worries about his progression. He started as an instructor, then he was a director, then he was a principal, and then he went to an academy, which is a different kind of teaching, and now he's director of professional development.
At a nationwide center, yeah.
It's a perfectly...
Yeah.
It's a perfectly kind of sloped trajectory that I wouldn't worry about.
Now, we don't mind if your trajectory is not perfect. We're just telling you when we see one of these, we go, okay, that's good.
Yeah, we want to show you what's
and
good about this.
Don't try to, if your trajectory has not been perfect, folks, don't try to make it look perfect, but recognize that when we compare yours with somebody who is perfect, we say there's one less question mark we have here. You probably have to have a little bit stronger accomplishments if your trajectory isn't as smooth. Now, again, you can't be somebody you're not. And so therefore, for those of you who don't have good trajectories, your network becomes that much more important.
Absolutely.
Because we want an introduction. We want a friend of Mark Horstman's to say, Mark, you got to interview this guy. Well, look, if my friend Dan McGuire says, you need to interview this guy, I'll interview him.
Yeah.
And I know there are problems with the guy's resume. And I'll probably say, Dan, you know what? This guy's resume. And he'll say, dude, let it go. Trust me. Get over the Army stuff. Trust me, us Merchant Marine guys, we know what we're talking about. I'll be like, okay, I'll talk to him. And if he's bad, you owe me dinner, you know, at Peter Luger's. The one thing I would say, this is as minor a quibble as I can possibly imagine. When I look at the resume, there's a full inch margin at the bottom of the page.
He's
and
got some spice.
One of my favorite things to do with resumes is to play with the vertical spacing, the vertical line spacing. I can actually also play with the kerning between letters when I want to get a line that is one word too long. I can just tighten up the kerning between the letters and get that word on the line. However, in this case, I would highlight the entire Word document, and I would change the line spacing to be multiple. In Microsoft Word, you choose multiple, and you set the multiple at 1.1 or 1.2. And because there's enough in the top job, there's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines altogether, about which are bullets. That 1.1 or 1.2 would spread it out across the entire page and make that top paragraph much more readable.
Much more readable.
And it would probably go closer to the bottom of the page. And I wouldn't feel like the bottom of the page is just... Look, the guy's been working for 20 years, right? 92, 2000... Yeah, 20 years plus. I just like the bottom of the page filled up a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, there is space at the end of every responsibilities paragraph. He has about a half line space. And in the top response, the most recent responsibilities paragraph, he doesn't have anything about the size or the team or anything.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of things that he could use that space for that were productive.
Yeah, if you wanted to add that, you could. Or you could just make it 1.1 and it would sit on the page just a little bit better and it would fill it up probably just right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a good resume. If I was hiring in this guy's area, I'd be willing to have at least a half hour screening interview. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Well done, Zeb.
Okay, folks, these are a little bit unusual, but hopefully they're helpful in terms of seeing them. We encourage you, of course, to always go to the website and look at the resume so you don't feel like we're talking about something you've never seen before. These people have agreed to make their resumes available to everybody anonymously, of course. And we'll do more because we've got so many to work through in the weeks and months and years ahead. Thanks, everybody. We hope to see you next week.
Bye, everyone.